Hey everybody, Eric Schweitzer here for another TG Roundtable discussion, joined today by the illustrious George Foster.
Hello everyone, how are we doing?
And the gamer's electrifying editor-in-chief, Stacey Henley.
Hello.
A bit of business before we jump into the discourse. We are coming to your earballs and eye holes as usual on YouTube, but we are also relaunching the Gamers podcast feed, so you can find this episode there. We're excited to be able to bring the show to more places, so check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, or else. Okay, today we are here to talk about the rumored, heavily rumored, new direction for Xbox and its multi-platform future. So to help us out with that, George, can you sort of walk us through the news over the last couple days?
Of course. So starting, I believe it was in the middle of January when these rumors started swirling a bit, it was said that Hi-Fi Rush, one of the best games ever made, if I do say so, that was coming to Nintendo Switch. That's what the rumor started as. And considering Xbox has done this in the past with Cuphead, they've obviously worked with Rare for like Rare Replay and stuff. And we've seen, I believe it's Ori, the first Ori, maybe the second one, come to the Switch. Like, it didn't seem too far-fetched. Like, Hi-Fi Rush, as amazing as it is, it's like a mid-level exclusive for them, for Xbox, I mean. So hearing that, I was like, yeah, that's probably happening, cool. And then it was like, oh, it's coming to PlayStation as well. I was like, sick, I'll replay it, really good, more people can play Hi-Fi Rush, I'm happy. And then the rumor went even further. It's like, oh, and Sea of Thieves. I was like, okay, they're just chucking everything out there. Like, again, Sea of Thieves, a middle exclusive for them, it makes sense to expand their player base for a, you know, Sea of Thieves been out for 7 years, something like that. So to introduce new players to it makes a lot of sense. So those two, like, not the biggest rumors, like, okay, fine, if that happens, interesting, but it's not, like, that big a deal. And then yesterday, at 9 or 10 p.m. UK time, just sitting there, get a notification, Starfield is coming to PlayStation. I was like, oh my god, okay. So, this is really big news, and then the floodgates just flew open. So it was Xbox era, they were the first one to report Starfield, they're like, right, this is happening. And then as soon as that was reported, every insider and leaker was like, yeah, I've heard this. Halo, probably. Maybe Gears of War. Maybe Forza. Maybe Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. And then where we stand now, Xbox hasn't commented on it yet, but it kind of just sounds like nothing is off the table. Like, anything could now be on Switch or PlayStation, like, in the future. And it is wild. Like, I can't get my head around it. I don't know how you two are feeling about it, but whew.
a very emotional point of view.
Yes, as I always have
on the rumor mill. Okay, so I think there's a whole lot to break down here. We want to try to add as much nuance into the conversation as possible, because obviously, you know, this would be a big paradigm shift for games. It would be a big deal for Microsoft if this is happening. And then there's also like the drama console war aspect of it too. So yep. I want to try to address this from every different angle, because there's what does this mean for players and video game customers? What is the business side of this? What does this mean for developers? So, let's start. I guess the simplest one is, when it comes to exclusives, the question is this better or worse for the customer? Stacey, where do you stand on that?
I think long term, this is probably better for the customer, because exclusives are generally bad for the customer. It means you need to buy two machines instead of one to play one thing, to play video games as a concept. You need the Nintendo console, because they're going to have exclusives. You need the PlayStation console, and you need the Xbox console. So I think a world without exclusives is probably better for the customer to just say, I'm going to buy a games console go to Target or wherever you go, get a games console that plays video games, and you can play video games on them. So moving away from the exclusive model, I think, is probably better for consumers in the long term. In the short term, I think we can sometimes dismiss the console war as kind of just gamer babies crying. And some of it is that. But if I think we're all quite lucky. We work in video games. We have access to different consoles. We can, you know, we kind of need them for our work, so they're a lot more accessible for us. If you had $500 and you decided 2 or 3 years ago that you were going to buy the Xbox console because you thought they had better games, you're now probably going to feel a little bit foolish, because if you bought one console, because you basically went, this one has Starfield, this one has Spider-Man, I'm going to go for the Starfield one because I'm more interested in Starfield. If what happens is Starfield goes to the Spider-Man console, you have made the wrong choice, because one console now has both games and the other one only has one. So I think in the short term, it's probably going to sting for a lot of Xbox customers if this is what happens. If they do just throw everything on there, it does kind of feel like, well, waste me money buying this console, because now I don't have access to all the games. Beforehand, I'd made a specific choice to have those games that are these games. But long term, I think a world without exclusives is probably a better one. You know, we don't have that in other mediums, really. You don't really have very many artists to only release on Spotify. I know for a while there's been some licensing issues or specific protests. I know Joni Mitchell isn't on Spotify because she's protested against some of their policies. But in general, if you want to listen to music, you have a music app or a record player, and everything you want is on there. If you want to watch a movie, I know there's specific streaming services, but if you buy a DVD or you go to the cinema, everything's going to be there. There's no thing that only comes to like AMC theaters. A book's original obvious example. So I think the fact that games have been so exclusive for so long is pretty unique to them. I would like to see it change, but I understand that it's going to hurt in the short term if it does.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like when it was just maybe Hi-Fi Rush is going multi-platform, it was a lot easier to be like, oh, what are you whining about? You're mad that more people get to play games. In the scenario where, and again, nothing has been announced.
We don't know. This
is all rumored. But in the scenario where all future Xbox exclusives are just timed exclusives, then you're absolutely right that the Xbox is just the machine that doesn't have God of War.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation has all the games. And especially in this day and age where games come out busted and get better over time, it's almost like the Xbox is like is where you play your early access games, and then you wait for the gold edition and play it on PlayStation, you know. And the current rumor is that Indiana Jones will be timed for maybe a couple months before it makes its way to PlayStation. So yeah, so it's very hard, one, to justify buying an Xbox, which is less of an issue than I already bought an Xbox and now I feel like I got the wrong console. And if that's what's happening, you absolutely did. And that's going to affect whether you buy an Xbox next time. Right. Mm. That's all part of the shift. If there is indeed a shift happening, I'll do the devil's advocate thing. Cause a couple other reasons that people are unhappy about this. One is just the sort of platonic idea of competition and the idea of Sony getting too powerful within the gaming market and what it will be able to do with pricing and with, you know,
a very interesting swing, given we've just had 2 years of the court saying Xbox is going to be too strong and too powerful and they'll control everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it will shock anyone if I say that Sony is a very anti-consumer, operates their business in a very anti-consumer way. And so I totally can see the reservations about giving that company more power over the market. Mm. But there's just far too many moving pieces to consider here. Because this would be such a tectonic shift.
It's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? Like, especially because it's still just a rumor right now. Like, when they officially announce it, we'll have more details on it and more specifics, like Hi-Fi Rush is coming here, and then, you know, Starfield is maybe later, that sort of thing. But, like, right now, there's so much to consider. I've seen a lot of arguments along what you've said, Eric, where it's like, if Microsoft is no longer in the race, then Sony's going to stop trying. Like, there's no competition. Sony will just, like, let up. Like, they'll stop caring about exclusives and stuff. And I don't know. I don't really think that's true. I think it's not like Nintendo's going away, especially.
I have some thoughts about that, but let me touch on the other dissenting point of view here. This Windows Central article everyone was talking about not too long ago was making the point that this is harmful to the resale value of Xbox games, because now you've invested in this ecosystem and those games are now less valuable. And I find that personally the least compelling of the arguments, though I can't deny that is definitely true.
Yeah. Hasn't Game Pass kind of been doing that anyway?
I just think the market's done that anyway. Like, you can't resell games now, really. There's a couple of game stores in the UK that don't take used games anymore. Mm. They used to be, that was their point. That was the point. They obviously sold new games as well, but a lot of their business was from that sort of turnover back when it was a viable business option. Now they sell Funko Pops. Yeah. So I do want to, you know, cater to every viewpoint. I have my own views on it, both from a business side, from what I think makes sense as a journalist who follows the industry, and from what I think as a, you know, a player. I had Xbox, the 360 was probably the console that probably means the most to me across my life. It's probably the console that I fell in love with gaming with. I'd had a PS1 and PS2, but I think that was the console I reconnected with. So I want to see it from every viewpoint, but I'm just not sold on that argument. I just think that's not a thing that matters, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I want to talk about now whether this is a good or bad business move for Xbox. And for the rest of the conversation, let's just take for granted that this is something that's happening, so we can stop qualifying that it's rumors, right?
If we're
So I think a good place to start, an important place to start, is to recognize that the console war, as we imagine it, this is not a battle between two video game companies. What it is a giant software company with a very small video game business, right, versus a giant hardware company with a larger video game business.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to not sort of be myopic about the game industry, because the game industry is huge and these are the two biggest players in it. But what these companies are is so much more than a PlayStation and an Xbox. And their relationship with each other is a lot bigger than the number of console sales that represents them. Sony is worth $130 billion, okay? Microsoft is worth $3 trillion. Like, they are not playing the same game, and it's not that surprising that they have a very different approach to the future of the video game industry. Microsoft is a $3 trillion software company. So I think when we talk about, what a surprising thing, or how can it abandon the Xbox or whatever, like, I think we should be thinking about how Microsoft is a software company that it doesn't make Windows computers, right? It makes Windows software and puts it on everyone else's computers. Like, that's just a proven model for one of the most successful companies of all time, at least in tech. So, you know, one, it's not that surprising, and two, it makes a lot of sense for what Microsoft does.
Yeah, 100%. I think the surprise part of me was more in terms of like the Xbox brand, I guess, and in terms of that viewpoint of it being like a console war. But in terms of like a business move, literally what I just said at the start, like it opens up their player base so much. Like suddenly you could have, you know, if you view it like, say every Xbox player plays Halo, they don't, but let's say they do, then that is still limited. And you open that up, Halo comes to PlayStation, you have a whole new player base of people buying into that game. Like in terms of, from a business side, it's a smart move, especially with Microsoft focusing more on Game Pass than ever before, in terms of like letting everyone play.
It's a smart move if you no longer care about selling Xboxes.
Yeah,
that much.
Yeah.
Which, looking at their sales figures, they probably don't. It's not a moneymaker for them in the way that the Switch has been for Nintendo, for example. I don't know how much individual Xboxes cost to make these days, but I know when they were doing the Xbox, can't call it the Xbox One because that's a different console, the original Xbox, Bill Gates did a whole thing about how they lost money on it. They deliberately lost money on it because they wanted to enter into this market, and they felt the best way to do that way back then was to have a box, to have a console. They said, don't buy a PlayStation, buy our Xbox. So they were prepared to lose money on it. They surely can't still keep that strategy up into what, their fourth genre? A generation, sorry, of consoles. They can't surely still be on losses for it, but I can't imagine that, given the size of their company, it's that much of a dent. You know, you talk about the money that they make, it's like judging McDonald's by how much its muffins make.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. True. Yeah. 100%. And also, like, so the sort of like social media narrative is that this is Xbox has lost its way. What is it doing? Like, it doesn't know what the plan is. And the evidence for that is like, why did it buy all of these publishers and studios? Why did it spend so much money acquiring Bethesda and Activision if not for the sake of exclusives? Is it really giving up on exclusives so quickly? And I think yes and no, right? Like, if Starfield had been the game everybody thought it was going to be, would this be happening?
I don't know. I remember saying a while ago that if Starfield is good, none of Xbox's problems, and they did have problems at the time, this was when Redfall was coming out, and all those sorts of issues with delays, Halo Infinite didn't do great. If Starfield is great, if it does, you know, Elden Ring sorts of numbers, then everything, at least in terms of public perception, which I don't know matters that much for business, but everything would have been fixed. What happens is Starfield released an okay game that was nominated for a grand total of one award at the Game Award, which had no shot of winning, and it's just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, and that's it was an especially important game because Xbox has had such a dry spell.
Yes.
And that's understating it, right? So had Xbox consistently been releasing hit games, no, I personally don't think this would be the direction that they're going. I think this is a consequence of losing the console war. But also, at the same time, I think that Microsoft has always been very forward-thinking when it comes to games. I think you can point to Xbox Live and the rise of online gaming. Like, it was a leader in that space, and indie games with Xbox Live Arcade. And I think that it's easy to see that something really big is happening in the game industry, and that there's a big constriction happening. I mean, we look at mass layoffs weekly, more than one a week. We also know that Sony spends more money on producing its AAA games than anyone else.
Yep.
hundreds of millions, and those games aren't making a return. We have to keep selling new versions of The Last of Us to pay for The Last of Us, because it only sold 13 million copies in the first place. You know, like, the amount of money that Sony spends to make games is not panning out in crazy sales. Like, the game industry is bigger than ever, but it's Fortnite, you know? It's all these live service. It's not Uncharted and Last of Us and God of War. Those games are medium successes that cost more than everything else. And so it could be the case, and it seems to me, that Microsoft is being very forward thinking here and going, why do we want to fight a battle against Sony when they are taking themselves down to win? Like, what they want to do is make the best exclusives possible to sell as many PlayStation 5s as possible, and that plan is leading to their own demise. So why would we try to do that better than them when, like, it's not going to work for them? I think it's very clear that the future of PlayStation is probably not more God of War Ragnaroks. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to spend 6-7 years and hundreds of millions to make a game that doesn't sell that well.
I think Xbox has always been very forward thinking in that regard, to the point where they've sometimes been a little bit too early. I remember everyone laughing at the Xbox One, because it's an all-in-one entertainment system. You're just going to watch television on your console, and it has, like, these online connectivities and all these things to it. Obviously, the Kinect itself wasn't great, but now we have VR, so there's kind of been a circle back around to that. But there was so much that Xbox has always thought about, probably because it's not really a video game company, where it's decided, this is where the future is going. We are going to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And while they, being too soon with the Kinect and the Xbox One and that whole thing, set them back a lot, it could be that this is just a reaction to what's happening already, because you think back a long, long time ago, before George was born, to the PlayStation and the Nintendo, they were exclusives. They were bona fide. One of them came on a big block of plastic. The other one came on a disc. They were completely separate entities. Whereas now, we think of those PlayStation exclusives that you've reeled off. They're not really exclusive. The Last of Us is on PC. Horizon's on PC. God of War's on PC. Bloodborne's still not. But so many of these games move to PC anyway. Xbox, obviously, because it's got PC Game Pass, they've always had a pretty fluid definition of exclusivity in that sense. You think of Halo as being Xbox exclusive, but it's not. It's on PC. So I think even though studios are built around exclusives, Xbox is probably sensing that that's something that isn't really true anymore. Because that's something you said at the start about, if you just want to get them later, just wait until they come out on PlayStation. You could do it now with a PlayStation. Just wait until they come out on PC. They're going to be there.
True.
Yeah. And, you know, I am hesitant to put, like, PC and console in the same market, because
I know what you mean.
They have such a different purpose and install base. And I think that that also leads to the point that, like, the Xbox, the box, isn't going anywhere.
Do you think they make new Xboxes?
I think always. Maybe not until the end of time, of course, but because a $300 Xbox, it cannot be compared to a $1,000 PC that needs a new video card every 2 years, right?
Yeah, like, and you can play it on your sofa and everything. I know I made this point, but when I find out that a game is on PC or something else, I always dismiss PC immediately.
So, like, do I personally. I
always prefer to play it on something else. But it might be that Microsoft itself isn't as aware of that. I know Phil Spencer knows video games very well, and they've got a huge video game department. I don't want to understate how big their video game department is, just because they make $3 trillion a year. But this is a company that, as you say, doesn't focus on video games entirely. They might not be that inclined to think of a difference between a PC and a Xbox. You know, there's still parents who could call everything a PlayStation. Older parents who call everything a Nintendo. Like, there's definitely some sense that a video game is a video game to some people, even some people in the industry. Just like, well, a game is a game, it doesn't matter where it is. If we can make more money selling it here, then we should. There's no emotional connection, I suppose, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. But I think that there will continue to be an imperative, if nothing else, for a Game Pass machine.
Yes.
They are doing that. It's, I think, a console leaked a while ago that is basically the equivalent of the Series X, but just digital. So, like, right. They clearly have plans moving forward for that. This whole thing seems, from the rumor mill, it seems suggested that it's, like, a recent change. Like, it's been talked about for a bit, but it is, like, a recent thing. So, obviously, they probably thought that console long before they've considered this new direction, but I don't see Xbox as a console going.
I agree. I think the Xbox branding will continue to be incredibly valuable and important. I mean, you're going to see it when Hi-Fi Rush comes to PS5, you're going to see Xbox branding in the PlayStation Store, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
And when you go to Target, Best Buy, Walmart, or whatever, like, they still want Xboxes on the shelves, even if those are cheaper machines that are less powerful, that are mostly for Game Pass. Like, I think it's okay if the PlayStation 6 is just blows away the next Xbox in terms of, like, performance and capability, because Xbox can sell a cheaper machine, a smaller machine, one that it's an easy add-on, or put it in your extra bedroom or whatever. Yeah. You know, I think that is going to continue to be a big important part of the Xbox business, but you know, just not the way it was in the PS3 versus Xbox 360 era.
No. Like,
it's not a head-to-head battle, and I think that's been clear since with the rise of Game Pass. I don't think this should surprise anyone. To me, Xbox's biggest problem is a, like, communication and optics problem. It's not, we're all, like, reading pretty deeply into the business here and trying to make determinations whether they're doing good or bad business. But to me, it's the way that they are telling us what their business direction is the issue.
Yeah.
That's what's got their customers so worried. And I also think that there's an element of reaping what you sow here because of the stoking of the console war.
100%.
Yeah,
100%. You mentioned before this idea that people are saying Xbox has lost its way. Can you imagine ever, like, sitting with your friends and going, you know, I really think Pizza Hut's lost its way. It's just not a thing I care about. You know, I was photocopying something the other day. Xerox has really lost its way. You know, I just don't care enough about these businesses. And I know there's obviously that financial connection that I mentioned at the start. I said myself, I have a strong emotional feeling towards the 360 specifically, but I think it's kind of okay for us. It's kind of our job to do this, but I think what you have is thousands upon thousands of people all discussing what moves should a $3 trillion tech company make in order to secure its future at making little green boxes. Like, there's so many people who are so invested in the outcome of this, but the outcome that they want is Xbox wins. They are Team Xbox, so they want Xbox to win. They don't even necessarily want what's best for Xbox or what's best for Microsoft. They want a piece of paper that says Xbox has won this one. Because Sony fans got that last gen. In PS4 era, they may as well have emailed or posted every Sony fan a diploma saying, you guys won this round, well done. And Xbox fans want that. They want a sense that, not just they've made the right choice because the games are coming out are good, but this idea that the console war, if it ends this way, has been won by Sony. And I think that's going to be a difficult thing for some people to take. They have participated in this idea of a war for a long time. It's not a real one, no one actually died, but they've participated in this idea, become very invested online, probably made lots of friends through it, through forums and Reddit and Discord and things like that. And then the, you know, the generals just waved a big white hanky and gone, nah, we're okay, we're done.
Yeah. give our guns to the other team.
And to, just to emphasize it, like, the general being Xbox that recruited these soldiers for the console war. Like,
yes,
they weren't just making games and they, all these brave soldiers came to their defense. Like, they have fostered this culture.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you then go, well, actually, we're not going to fight the war anymore. Yeah, all these people are going to feel kind of misled. They're going to feel let down by their side.
Yeah, I bought these guns. Why won't you keep fighting?
Like... yeah, not to say that they're right. They all need to grow up and like get some real problems in their lives. but it is a direct consequence of Microsoft's marketing and the way that it has like fostered this console war. So, like, yeah, it's definitely the chickens coming home to roost. If their fans are mad at them, it is definitely their fault.
I have to say, for me personally, it feels like such a strange time to do this because literally last month, Xbox had the strongest showing. Like, obviously, Starfield shit the bed a bit, but the developer direct they just did was fantastic. Like, that was really, like, for me anyway, like, Indiana Jones looks great, Avowed looks great.
Everything really, they showed, really like, good show. And I think, I don't like, I'm kind of going by in the console war myself here, but I think they won over PlayStation State of Play. Yeah. I know PlayStation had Death Stranding, but I feel like Xbox has looked really ambitious, really bold, really interesting games there. Things looked positive going into the future. A lot of 2024 release dates as well, which might get bumped, but for now gives you a nice little warm, fuzzy feeling compared to Sony's in development. slogan. It feels like a surprise. I think we felt we had it figured out. I think we certainly I did, probably a little bit of arrogance because I've never ran a $3 trillion company, don't know how it works, but just kind of felt like they've bought Bethesda, they've obviously bought Activision Blizzard, they've bought a couple of smaller studios as well, and it felt like they'd gone right. PlayStation won the last generation through exclusives. So we are going to build up our army. Let's go full into the war metaphor. We're going to build up our army with more artillery so our exclusives are better. So yeah. I'm sure there's a version of it that does make, you know, good business sense. And I know Activision Blizzard for $70 billion is eye-watering as it sounds, pretty cheap considering the money it makes. It was, you know, sold under a bit of a scandal. So I can understand if you have that much money why you would go and buy this company, but I think everyone just felt they were buying it to make exclusives. It was, you know, they're going to bring back Spyro and Crash and Tony Hawk's, and they're going to have all these new mascots for Xbox, and it's going to show this like bright, brave new dawn for the console. And instead, it seems like they just want to sell it like software, which makes sense for a software company.
And the industry bled out 6,000 people last year and has already bled out another 4,000 this year. Like, that is important too.
It's kind of important. I mean, it's very important that people lost their jobs, but they lost their jobs, a lot of them, because of slower growth. Like, Microsoft just did some layoffs themselves. And it does happen when you have an acquisition because there's two people doing the same job. But a lot of the layoffs that we've seen are, we projected an 8% growth and we only got a 5% growth. These aren't companies that are making huge losses. I know we've said PlayStation is spending a lot of money on producing AAA games. But when you look into the meat of a lot of the layoffs, other than the ones that are from studios where there's been a really big flop or failure, a lot of them are cutting for tax purposes in order to sustain a high level of profitability for shareholders, as opposed to the bubble bursting. It's shoving people out of the bubble so there's more air for the richest people to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But the downstream from that is less hands and minds to make big, expensive games.
A scale back in ambitions.
Right.
Yeah.
These companies can no longer invest the way that they have been over the last 10 years in games that take 7 years and cost $300 million. That's not going to be the norm anymore, is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think that's very true. it's just one of those difficult things to kind of see the industry shift because we didn't make quite enough profit. Like, I almost don't mind it when they say this isn't working. We need to do something desperately because everything's going to collapse. It's more that this is working, but it could work a bit better. 77 people are out of a job. They're just, you know, it's just not nice, basically.
Yeah. So there's a lot of comparisons being drawn to Sega and the Dreamcast and, you know, losing the console war against Nintendo and then shifting into publishing. Clearly parallels to be drawn, but that kind of really sells Microsoft short and its vision for the future. Because once again, Xbox leads change in the game industry, and this isn't Xbox falling back to publishing, because like Game Pass really is such a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. So like a new direction for Xbox, if that's what's happening, I don't think is quite analogous to Sega giving up on consoles and spending the next 20 years making mediocre Sonic games.
I suppose the difference there is, as well as all the things you've just said, Sega is a really big company, but doesn't quite have as many in different plates spinning as Xbox does, even ignoring the whole Microsoft side of things. Xbox has a lot of studios under its ownership, and then even within those studios, a lot of studios. Because we think of Activision Blizzard King as being three studios, but it's not, because Activision itself owns about 20. So there's a lot of different people at Xbox that I think are already doing that. That I think for them to focus on doing it this way suggests a much broader change than we should go back to doing it this way, the way that Sega did. Sega really had put a lot of stock in, we think we can be the next big player in this market.
Yeah.
I think Xbox has been in the game for a lot longer in terms of, you know, manufacturing consoles specifically than Sega ever was. And it's rightly or wrongly, if this is true, I don't think it's a sign of being defeated or giving up. It's a sign of sensing that there is another way to win, if you like.
Sure. Yeah.
I agree.
Everybody's going to say, and I'm seeing everywhere, how embarrassing this is, how clueless Microsoft is. And I think like what we've sort of drilled down to is it makes sense that people feel that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't mean that that is the case, that Microsoft is lost and scrambling or anything like that, but it certainly looks that way, and there's a reason it looks that way, right?
Yeah. Like, even I understand both sides of it, and I don't care about console wars. Like, to me, like the three of us said, a game is a game, you know, regardless where it is, and maybe that's because we work in the industry, I guess, but I've never really cared about it. But even I yesterday had a feeling of, why do I have an Xbox? You know, right. Like I felt a little bit, a little bit scorned, I guess. And I can definitely see if you're sitting there with your Xbox shirt and you're screaming every time Phil Spencer comes on screen. I mean, get a life, like Eric said. But I can see why you would be upset. I can see why people are.
People are upset. It does matter to people.
Yeah. And it's the same reason you should be upset that Starfield wasn't very good and Redfall wasn't very good. And it's been 6 years since there was a Gears of War, and like all these things, and Infinite has taken 4 years to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, like there are a lot of mistakes have been made. I'm certainly not trying to excuse Xbox and be like, oh, you just don't see the master plan here. Like, there's clearly been over a decade of missteps. Phil Spencer said himself on that podcast that like they lost the console war last generation. Like, they did not bring the games, and they're still not bringing the games.
Well, they are to other consoles.
Well, they're bringing Starfield to other consoles. Yeah. Like,
I do think this doesn't mean anything either way. And the, you know, a message could be imminent, but it broke on Sunday night. They probably weren't expecting it, but it's now Monday. We've had this time. They haven't said anything.
Yeah.
And I know it's a really complicated issue. And if it's even a little bit true, you can't say it's not true, because then you're going to have to reveal it eventually. And even if it's not true, you can't necessarily say that's not true, because that might be a plan C or a plan D for the future. And you don't want to say we're not doing this, because then that makes a rod for your own back when you do it, even if you don't do it for another 6 years. But it does feel like no message at all. Not only is this completely caught Xbox out, but whatever stage they're at with this plan, they have no idea how to tell people about it. They just have no sense of what this looks like to the public.
Deafening silence right now. Like, I keep expecting any kind of announcement, any kind of, we will talk about these plans.
But when the Xbox leaked, obviously the Series X leaked, they handled that really well. Not just with like the meme that they posted about it, but they really embraced this idea that players are interested in what we're doing and we're really glad and we just want to show you, like, in our own way, we'll be ready very soon. We do have a new console coming out, you know. They really embraced this idea that, probably stole in the console wars a little bit, but they really embraced this idea that people wanted to see behind the scenes. They took it as a compliment that people were trying to leak their big trade secrets, basically. At least they spun it that way as far as the public went. But with this one, it just feels like they've been so caught out. Whether it's true or not, they don't know how to. They don't know how to tell anyone about this.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing that we have to touch on is through the entire, all the Activision drama between Sony and Microsoft, was it not the case that Call of Duty exclusivity was a huge sticking point?
Yep.
Yeah, so clearly exclusivity is very important to Microsoft, or it was 4 months ago.
I would argue clearly it's very important to Sony. Assuming, let's say you know you're planning on abandoning exclusivity, your Xbox, you know you're planning on abandoning this, and Sony says, I want to take you through a very long and very expensive legal battle that you'll probably win anyway to make you give up the exclusivity on this game. And if you lose, well, you're going to do it anyway. Mm. And the result of that case was, we know how much Horizon cost. We know how much Uncharted cost. We've seen private emails from Jim Ryan disparaging Xbox and Xbox players and the Xbox ecosystem. Even regardless of the fact that they won the case, Microsoft came out of that looking a lot better. Yeah, Sony sued them in a case they didn't think they'd be able to win, and Xbox might not have cared if they lost.
Yeah, a bit of 4D chess to that whole scenario, absolutely. Yeah, but that just also just goes back to like the optics of this whole thing. And how that's really what their big issue is at the moment.
Yeah, if what I've just said is true, Xbox can't say that to players. They can't say it to their fans. Like, we wanted to be sued. We wanted to give up Call of Duty anyway. We don't care.
So if we're in the mindset that the Activision Blizzard thing was for exclusives 4 months ago, and it was, right, we're building up an army that can take on console wars, then now that that's not the case, why do we think that was done then?
I have quite a controversial answer to that. Because if this really is a really recent decision, it could be as recent as the Insomniac leaks. We didn't really know what Sony's plans were with anything. We knew some of the games cost a lot of money, but when the Insomniac leaks happened, not only did we see the development sales, we saw how much they'd spent on a game like Spider-Man, which uses the same map and the same characters. We saw they'd tried to make several live service games. They've just canned The Last of Us, got rid of a Spider-Man one. They've had a Horizon 1 development for ages that we might never see. So they've seen Sony try to look at the future and go, I think 95% of studios have a live service in development. I saw recently, there was a poll from, I think it was GDC. So Xbox might have seen the future that's ahead and think, we don't want to invest in that. We don't want to pay for several billion dollars worth, when you add them all up, live service games that we don't think will stick the landing, because we tried it with Halo. If we couldn't make Halo work, we can't make anything else work. So it might have been a reaction to some of the recent Sony leaks and some of the Sony shifts in strategy. Sony obviously moving away from this 10 live service thing that's planned into okay, that's not the future. Maybe this is the future for us. That's just a guess.
Yeah, I think that's... Because I couldn't make heads or tails of it. It did feel like... Not wasted time, but it feels like there were so many conversations about, oh my god, this means Crash can be on Xbox, this means Guitar Hero's back, and there's so many conversations about that that took up so much time over last year, and now it sort of feels like... Obviously, it wasn't for nothing, but I can't get my head around what that means now, if this is true.
Yeah. As we start to wrap up, where do you hope this leads?
Hi-Fi Rush on PlayStation, maybe.
You've already played Hi-Fi Rush, so why would you care?
I will play it again. I don't even know. Hi-Fi Rush, love aside, you know, for me selfishly, I'm excited. I use my PlayStation more. If you tell me I can play Halo on PlayStation, I'll play more Halo. I'll play Sea of Thieves. I'll play those games on like my personal console of choice, but
I would be happy if this could be the beginning of the end of exclusives as a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
It would be pretty cool if we could shift the conversation away from the console war and who's winning and who's losing, and every single state of play and game awards has to be this PlayStation versus Xbox thing. I think it would be mm-hmm. pretty cool if we could start talking about games in a different way because of this.
Yeah, I see that.
I think that's hopeful. I think there's so many people, even if this console war crap has come to an end with this new move, I still think people are still going to be thinking like that. So I think that's hopeful. I'd love that. I'd love to put more focus on games instead of who wins every time that we have a presentation. I don't think it will happen because there are those people with the Xbox tattoos and the PlayStation tattoos. They're going to be like, we won, we lost, whatever. But we can hope, right? That would be very cool.
It's just so detrimental to conversation. It's just so unbelievably toxic. And I know that gamers will find new ways to be toxic to each other. I don't think this is going to heal the world or anything. But if it could just take that element out of the conversation, I think that would be in everyone's best interest.
Yeah, I think I feel the way I said at the start. I think for the consumers, long term, getting rid of exclusives is the best way to go. I know it'll be rough in the short term for people who've been on Team Xbox, if you like. But having Xbox as a Game Pass machine, it's an affordable way to get into gaming, something that we badly lack as an industry, and how much the new consoles are. Have PlayStation be, or have Xbox rather, be half the price of a PlayStation. Nice, easy entry level in to play some stuff on Game Pass, play some Microsoft games. PlayStation is for some of the bigger exclusive games. And also, if it does make PlayStation a little bit less ambitious, I'm fine with that, because you look at how many gaps we have between series now. I know game won't ever go back to this, but I remember when I was a kid, there was like every year there was a new Crash Bandicoot, a new Spyro, a new Tomb Raider. Just felt like there was so many like fresh ideas in the industry. And whereas now, every series, unless it's, you know, a Call of Duty, it's waiting 5 or 6 years between games because they have to cost hundreds of million and take hundreds of hours. And if Xbox kind of ducking out of the game means PlayStation can ease up a little bit and we can get more things more often that cost a bit less, and maybe it's on quite as cutting edge as The Last of Us Part 2, I don't really care. I would prefer that. I think that makes for a more interesting and alive industry.
And it's what the industry needs as well, from everything we're seeing, from layoffs and the Insomniac leaks that we've talked about.
Yes.
We need that. Like, if the industry is going to... I'm not going to say if the industry needs to survive, but for it to thrive and for it to grow, that is the way.
If you think of some of the games that have spent 8 years in development, and I know some of them, like Red Dead, are kind of worth it, but a lot of them aren't, right? If you take the money that development cost... and instead, for the same budget, released 3 smaller, shorter, worse-looking games, I think most people would be happier with that outcome. I think it would make more profit, it would lead to fewer layoffs, it would mean more fresh ideas, it would mean more innovation in the industry because we'd see more things come out more often. And I don't think people are that connected to 100-hour long behemoths that look photorealistic. I think they're connected to experiences. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see a shift back to the norm being smaller development cycles, smaller teams, focus on what can we create with this scope, as opposed to how much scope do we need to beat the other team.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. That's it for this video / podcast. Thank you so much for watching. Our article on Xbox and the future of gaming is linked down in the description. Don't forget to like, subscribe, hit that bell, and visit us at thegamer.com. That's thegamer.com. No space.